Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
Judges chapter 16, verse number 18. This is Samson. I want to go old school, Old Testament, in the last message of the day, talking about the life of Samson. Just a heads up, I'll just give you a heads up of who this is. Samson is a Bible character in the Old Testament. Before he's ever born, an angel of the Lord shows up to his mom and dad and says, just a heads up, your child is going to be somebody. This is the seventh time that God's chosen people, the Israelites, have come under the oppressive rule of the Philistines. Before God raised up Jesus, our Savior, he was raising up deliverers in this time. Samson is called to deliver God's chosen people out of the oppressive rule of the Philistines. So the angel of the Lord shows up. This only happens four times in Scripture. Isaac, John the Baptist, Jesus, and Samson. The angel shows up and says, listen, heads up. Your child's going to be a deliverer. Don't you drink no wine. Sounds like a curse. Don't you drink no wine. Don't you take him to no barbershop. Not barbershop. One, two, or three. Movie reference. Don't you cut his hair. Because your child's going to be a deliverer. So his life starts with God saying, this, he is somebody. Okay? Let me just go to the end of the story. We're going to read the middle, but let me just go to the end of the story because I like, anybody like feel-good Disney movies? Anybody like Disney? My all-time favorite movie ever is Remember the Titans. I love Strong Side. Like I love the whole thing. So this is like a Disney movie. It ends, Samson will end in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith. So in the end, he will go down as a hashtag legend. In the end, he'll go down as God saying, this is a great man of faith, but I want to pick up the story in the middle of his life, because how many know sometimes you can have a great start and you can have a good end, but it's the middle that matters most. Just watch here. This is the middle of the life of Samson, and it says in Judges 16, watch here. It says, when Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for this time he has told me all that is in his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Remember that. Brought the money in their hand. And then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, don't you worry about it, girl. I will go out as before, like all the other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him away and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. And they bound him with bronze fetters. And listen to this. They bound him with bronze fetters. And Samson, the great Samson, became a grinder in the prison. I want to preach a message this evening. You can write down the title. It's called The Mess in the Middle. The Mess in the Middle. I want to pray together, and I want to believe that God will come. He will encourage us tonight. He will speak to us tonight. Come on, anybody come. Come on, to receive from heaven and to hear from God tonight. You can go ahead and make some noise tonight if you're thankful. Come on, that God's about to speak. Let's pray and let's believe together. Jesus, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you are so loving. You are so kind. You are so generous. We acknowledge your character and we declare your nature tonight. Thank you that you are better than we can imagine. You are greater than we deserve. We ask tonight as we open up your word, open up our eyes so we can see your son. Open up our ears so we can hear the Holy Spirit. We thank you for everything that you're doing at VU Church. We declare over VU Girl, we declare over VU Church the blessing of the Lord. Thank you that the best is yet to come. And God, we believe that the Miami Heat next year, that LeBron James will come home. In Jesus' name, and everybody said together, you better get a lot more faith than that. Come on, put your hands together one more time. It don't look good, but won't he do it? A miracle in motion. Anybody tonight, by show of hands, you love your mom. Let me just see your hand. If you love your mom, just raise. If you think you got the best mom ever, just wave at me. I know you think that your mom is awesome. I've got the best mom in the whole world, okay? Let me tell you about my mom. My mom is a short little Mexican named Stella. My mom immigrated to the United States of America when she was 14 years old. She's legal. We're good. Don't you call nobody on my family. She has a card. It's green. Thank you very much. Okay. So my mom is a little Hispanic lady. She is the greatest ever. A few years ago for my mom's birthday, I said, Mom, what would you like for your birthday? I got credit cards and children now. 4 chest hair. What you want? Buy you anything you want. Thought my mom was going to ask for something from Amazon Prime. You know, like ask for something from Foot Locker or something. In this season of my mom's life, my mom had gotten into running. I don't know where this comes from. She just got into running. Like all of a sudden, my mom just got up and became the Forrest Gump of our family. Like she just started running. Like it's the worst. Marathons, half marathons. So my mom looked at me. I'm like, Mom, what do you want for your birthday? Buy you anything you want. What would you like? My mom, she shocked me. She looked at me. She goes, Mijo, this year for my birthday, I want you to run the Seattle half marathon. My mom lives in Seattle. The Seattle half marathon with me. I was like, dang it. But I quickly did the math because my mom's running is the equivalent to my walking. So I was like, yeah, we're good. All right, I'll walk 12 miles with you. That's fine. I'll do that. So the Seattle half marathon takes place on Thanksgiving weekend. Anybody love Thanksgiving? Come on, Thanksgiving's on its way. Okay. So Thanksgiving weekend. So Thursday, we ate all the food. Friday, we spent all of our money. Saturday, we're trying to recover. Sunday morning of Thanksgiving weekend, the Seattle Half Marathon. I met my mom downtown. She was staying in a hotel downtown Seattle. I rocked up. I was Nike head to toe. Like I looked like a Nike ad campaign. Like I looked like Usain Bolt, okay? Just rocked up to my mom's hotel, met her, and I had my iPod already. I'm like, we're going to be 12 miles. I got my playlist ready. I had more Beyonce on this playlist. Like my single ladies was going to get me through this. Okay. So I got everything ready. I walked to my mom's, you know, hotel room. I'm ready to go. I'm just fired up. Like, here we go. And my mom's like, Mijo, they don't allow iPods on this race. Regrettably, this would be one of the worst times in the history of my life that I chose to obey my mom. So I leave my iPod. I go down to the beginning of the Seattle half marathon, full marathon. When I went there with my mom, I thought I was going on a 12-mile walk with my mother. When I got there, nobody told me 20,000 people were going to be there. Nobody told me 20,000 people were going to be there waiting at the Space Needle. When I walked up and I saw the scene, I quickly went from I'm going on a walk with mom to oh snap, we competing today. Like I just all of a sudden I'm like, I'm firing up my hammies, I'm getting my glutes ready, like I'm full on. Like when the guy said on your mark get set go, I promise to God, when he said on your mark get set go, I ran the first mile of the Seattle half marathon in record speed. Like I think I ran a 3-minute mile. Like I don't think my feet touched the ground, honest to God. Like I felt like Jack from the Titanic. I was just like I was just 1 mile, first mile, just like I never ran so fast in my life. At the end, when I finished the Seattle half marathon, you finish in this big football stadium. There's, I think they hire fans. When I finished the race, I promised to God, I thought they were there for me. I was like, oh my gosh, how are you guys? Come on, let's take a picture. Like I thought there was going to be a reporter there to interview me. Like I never felt so fulfilled in my life. I'm telling you right now, the beginning was the best. The end was even greater. But the middle of that race, you ever been 7 miles into a run and all you can hear is your own breathing? Like you're 7 miles in, all you hear is eighth mile, your mind goes to a weird place. You start thinking about ex-girlfriends and coaches that gave you no playing time and teachers that gave you... Am I preaching to anybody tonight? I want to talk tonight that beginnings have such inspiration. and endings are so fulfilling. You know, the Bible teaches the end of a thing is better than the beginning. But I want to preach tonight about the God who is faithful in the middle of your journey, in the middle of your race. Come on, anybody thankful tonight? He's not just the Alpha. He's not just the Omega. Come on, he's the God of the middle. Somebody give God some praise tonight. If you know who I'm preaching about, I'm talking about the one that said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll stick closer than a brother. Somebody praise the Lord tonight. I found a friend. His name is Jesus. He's sticking with me. Come hell or high water, God will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to fear because he's with me in the middle of my race. I just love this about Samson. I'm going to give you five things out of the life of Samson tonight. Write down point number one. Samson in the beginning, he was number one. He was destined for greatness. He was destined for greatness. Oh, I love this about Samson. Angel shows up and says, this child is going to, he's going to be somebody. He's going to do something. Now listen, I don't know what kind of home you grew up in. I don't know what your parents did or didn't do. But let me declare the word of the Lord to you. You are destined for greatness. This is Bible. Come on, church. You have been made by greatness. You have been made for greatness. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Let me just go Bible for one moment. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, give you a hope and a future. I don't care what your daddy used to say. Let me tell you what a greater father says. You are called, you're anointed, you are chosen. The best is yet to come because your destiny, it's not your idea. This is God's idea. You're destined for it. You're destined for it. My daughter, Georgia, I want to say thank you to everybody that has prayed for my sweet daughter, Georgia, and journeyed with my wife and I for many years. She's almost six. And I'll never forget when we left the hospital, when Georgia was born, we left the hospital, the doctors checked everything, and they congratulated us. They handed us a healthy baby. They said, congratulations on your healthy baby. We took our baby girl home as our first child. We took, back in those days, we didn't have all these apps. We just had Instagram with Early Bird and Valencia. That's it. I posted every Early Bird picture. We were so ecstatic about our daughter coming home. And we started noticing something's not right. Something's not right with our daughter. I remember before she was born, every night I would lay hands on my wife's stomach over Georgia before she was born. I don't even know where this came from, but I would declare over my daughter. I don't know, maybe someone said this before, but I would say, God, I thank you that this girl here, she has a global grace. And I would start to picture her being used around the world. Maybe she'll sing. Maybe she'll preach. But I would declare over my daughter, God, I thank you. I felt the Holy Spirit pray this over your kid. She'll be used around the world. She has a global grace. I never forget when we started noticing something's not right and we started having to go in for all these tests and seeing doctors, and then we would eventually sit when she was 4 months old with a doctor that slid a piece of paper across the desk. He said, I'm so sorry to tell you, your daughter has, I never heard of it before, your daughter has what's called lysencephaly. In simple terms, that's smooth brain. Her brain never formed. It never developed. I'll never forget. He said, she'll never walk. She'll never talk. She'll never crawl. She'll never roll over. She'll never live to this many years. She'll never develop to this many months. She'll never. We drove home that day heartbroken. I never cried like that before. But we made a decision that we were going to declare that our God is a healing God. And we were going to put our faith and our trust in Jesus. I'm telling you, church, we made a decision that day and we posted on social media what was going on with my Georgia. And I'm telling you, that day around the world, God started to use a little girl named Georgia to infuse faith. Come on, to build hope. I don't care what's come against you. It's not greater than who's for you. Somebody praise the Lord. You're destined for greatness. I don't know what you've gone through, but I'm telling you right now, come on, somebody thank the Lord that when the enemy tried to come against you, the Lord raised the standard against them. Somebody give Jesus some praise tonight. Destined for greatness. Samson knew it, didn't he? You ever see a pastor's kid at church? Samson walk around the playground like, hey, you ain't destined. Yo, I'm mad destined. Yo, you got your hair cut? Yo, never cut my hair. Like he walked around like he owned the joint. Like, yo, don't worry about me, bro. I'm destined for greatness. Like he knew it. Write down number two. He was destined for greatness. Number two, he was distracted by weakness. He was distracted by it. He knows his call. Some of us are just so satisfied that you have the call of God, but maybe because you have a weakness, you won't ever fulfill the call of God. At the end of the day, Samson's life can be summarized by this. He was strong towards God, but he was weak towards women. And let's just read together here what happened. Samson is called to take out the Philistines, and he walks by and he sees a Philistine woman. Read here on the screens in Judges 14. Watch what the scripture says. It says, now Samson, the great Samson, went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman here at VU Church among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from that uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Have you come to grips with your weakness yet? Because Samson knew he loved God. He knew he had a calling, but he was weak towards women. Have you come to grips and identified what your weakness is? Because I'm okay with my weakness now. I've come to grips with my weakness. I have a weakness, and I'm not ashamed of it anymore. I've come out about my weakness. I've talked about it. I'm not afraid to talk about it publicly anymore. I've put my garbage out there. I've had a weakness my whole life. It's peanut M&Ms. Seen a phone come up. This girl was like, I'm getting this on my IG. I knew it. That dude is weird. I knew he was weird. I could tell the whole thing is weird. That dude's off. Got him. We was at the movies the other day. Me and Julia and the kids, we spent the $500. We all went and everything. We're sitting in the movie theater. And we're having a good time with the popcorn and the soda. And I know in the lobby, there's that big bag of peanut M&Ms. I looked at Julia. I was like, hey, I'll be right back. You know what I'm saying? Came back, threw it in the popcorn. I'm like, ah. But let me just ask you, do you know your weakness? Because one thing certain, Satan does. He knows the bait to use, doesn't he? He knows what will lure you, what will tempt you. Samson's called by God. That just because you got a call does not mean you're exempt from temptation. In fact, the Bible says no temptation has overcome you, but what is common to man, and God is faithful, who will never allow the temptation to become more than you can bear, but will always provide a way of escape. Am I preaching to anybody that's thankful tonight that the Bible teaches us it's okay to be weak because you can actually become strong? Samson's weak. He sees her. He's like, oh, my God. He goes, Daddy, get her for me. And notice, this is always the counsel of God. Watch the Father. This is just like Father God. God will always try and talk you out of your bad decision. I love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always show you the results of your decisions before you make them. That's all right. You can go there. You can do that. But just a heads up, these are the consequences you'll face. The dad's like, oh, son, please, no, no. And he's like, hey, just a heads up. This is what I want. He gets stubborn. Don't we get stubborn? That's what I want. So I'm going to do it. So watch this. The dad goes get the girl. They come. They have the wedding. They do the whole ceremony. They pay vows. They have the reception. They do the YMCA together. They go to Bora Bora. They do. And now Samson is sleeping with the enemy. Samson's married to a Philistine. He hangs out. He watches Monday Night Football with Philistines. He's friends with them. He hangs around them. He's sleeping and hanging out with people he never should associate with. And so watch what he does. He goes to the Philistine guys, and Samson's big, and he's buff, and he's called, and he's anointed. So he goes to the guys. He goes, guys, let's just try this. I'll give you a riddle. If you can figure it out, I will owe you so big. But if you can't figure it out, you will owe me. So he says the riddle, and the Philistines can't figure it out. But he's married to one, remember? So the woman, his wife, she keeps coming and going, Samson, you're going to tell me the secret, right? Samson, you're going to tell me the riddle, right? Remember in life, whoever you tell your secrets to, that's who has your heart. Just tell me the secret. Tell me. What is it? So he's like, well, we did the YMCA together. Of course I'm going to tell you. So he tells his wife the secret, thinking he can trust her. What does she do? She spins out. She goes back to the Philistines. She tells them the riddle. They come back to Samson. They tell it to him. He's heartbroken. He's devastated. In fact, write down number three. He was destined for greatness. He was distracted by weakness. And write down number three. Now he's delusional with pain. In fact, watch this. Judges 14, 19 and 20 in the Message translation. Watch how, what it says. I love this part. It says, stalking out, smoking with anger, he went home to his father's house, and Samson's bride became the wife of the best man at his wedding. Was there no guy code in this era? Samson's so hurt by it, he goes, I'm going back to mom and dad's house. He's living in the basement of his parents' house, watching Netflix and playing Xbox by himself. He's just like FIFA soccer, Stranger Things 2. FIFA soccer, Stranger Things 2. That's all he's doing. He is so hurt. He is so upset. He is so demoralized. He is so devastated. How could she? It's just amazing to me. So many of us, we've gone through such trauma, such pain, but I've learned in life, if you don't heal from the thing that has hurt you, it's going to end up killing you in the future. Come on, everybody, thankful today. We don't have to live with that pain. We don't have to live with that hurt anymore. I've learned in life I cannot make contemporary decisions based off historical pain. I remember a couple years ago, I was playing basketball with some friends, and I went up and I did a white guy's dunk. You know what a white guy's dunk is? We can't really dunk, so we do layups where we slap the glass, and that's our dunk. So I went up and did a layup, bam, hit the glass. I'm like, yeah, we dunked it. But when I came down, I rolled my ankle and I tore every ligament in my right foot. Every ligament in my right foot. I'll never forget, we're driving to the hospital. Two friends are in the front seat. I'm in the back seat. My ankle hurt, my foot hurt so bad. I remember just being like, take me now, Jesus. It's over. Like I was in so much pain. It's just amazing to me. So many of us, you've gone through pain of rejection or betrayal or fallout, breakup. I've learned in life, pain is this thing that can make you delusional. That thing which you can't get over. If you can't get over, you will always stay under. Samson is delusional in pain. Watch what he's doing. FIFA soccer, Stranger Things 2. The Philistines know we hurt him, but we didn't take him out. The enemy doesn't just want to hurt you. He wants to take you out. Yeah. So they hire him. They got his weakness. They know that man that's supposed to take us out, he loves our ladies. So they hire a girl named Delilah. Delilah, her name means weakness, and she has one. Her weakness, by the way, is not Hebrew boys named Samson. Her weakness is money. So they pay this girl, Delilah, a large sum of money to go and lure this Samson out of his parents' basement to get into a relationship again. It's just amazing to me how this happened. He hasn't healed, and so this is what Samson says. Samson says, oh, that was just that girl, but this time it's different. This time she's not the same. This time it'll be all right. This time I'll be fine. It was just that one time, that one girl. It'll work out this time. So now Samson is back with a new Philistine girl. Her name is Delilah. She doesn't love him. She loves money. And now he's sleeping with a different girl. So last verse, same as the first. So she keeps wearing him down. What's your secret? What's your secret? What's your secret? What's your secret? You ever notice how the devil doesn't show up once a week, but he shows up every day? What's your secret? What's your secret? What's your secret? The devil himself wants to vex your soul. So you get so exhausted. You're just like, oh, I give up. I'll do it. I'll give in. I'm just so tired of facing this thing. So she's wearing him down. What did it say? We read it. She lulls him to sleep. She finds the secret to it. It's his hair. So she gets the secret pulled out of him. He tells her the secret. What do? The Philistines, they come in and they shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she wakes him up. She says, Samson, wake up. The Philistines are upon you again. And what does he say? Oh, I love this line. He goes, girl, don't even worry about it. I'm good. But he did not know the Lord had departed from him. So he wakes up, he goes to shake himself free, and they come in. What's the first thing that they do? The first thing they do is it says that they bind him, and then they blind him. Oh, that's the devil. The devil wants to bind you into something and then blind you so you can't see God and you can't see your calling and you can't see your future and you can't see the greatness in others. Come on, anybody thankful today that the heart of God is to free you and give you vision. So now Samson, the great Samson, is in prison. He is blind, he is bound, and he is bald. And now Samson, write down number four. He was destined for greatness. He was distracted by weakness. He was delusional with pain. Now he's debilitated by regret. Samson, the great Samson, is blind, he's bound, and he's bald. And he's walking around his jail cell, and he is literally, he cannot believe. You ever talk to yourself crazy? Tell the truth, shame the devil. You ever talk to yourself like nobody else can talk to you? Like, this is Samson. He's in jail. He's going, oh, no, oh, no, 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 oh, no, 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 no. This didn't just happen. This is not my life. You are so stupid. You are so, you ever talk to yourself like this? You are so dumb. You are so, how could you let this happen? How could, I'm blind now. I'm bald now. Listen, I know we live in this era. It's like hashtag no regrets. It made me who I am, but come on. Sometimes you gotta realize I regret that one night. I regret that decision. Come on. The Bible says there is a repentance that leads to death and there is a repentance that leads to life. I am sorry about some things I've said. I am repentful and remorseful about some things I've done. Come on, somebody thank the Lord that the Bible says that we can repent before the Lord and be converted, that our sins may be washed away, and times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. Samson's going, no, this didn't, no, stop, no! This did not just happen. I'm in jail. I'm blind. I'm bald. I'm bound. No, this is, I'm called. I'm Samson. I'm called. I'm just, oh, Jesus, no, stop. And this is the worst part of it. The Philistines, they'd bring him out to these parties. This is so the devil. They'd bring him out to these parties and they'd made Samson, the great Samson, they'd make him perform at their parties. And they'd laugh at him. They'd make a mockery of him. And they'd make him, he's got no hair. He's blind. He's bound. And they'd laugh at him and go, this is the guy that's supposed to take us out. Isn't it just like the devil that wants to do everything to destroy your legacy, to make your name a laughing stock? Look at who you were supposed to be and look who you are now. They'd laugh at him. Worship team, you can come join me. I love the end of the story because he was destined for greatness. He was distracted by weakness. He was delusional with pain. He was debilitated with regret. But in the end, the Bible says Samson, when he's in prison, the Bible says his hair starts to grow back. His vitality starts to be renewed. In fact, write down number five, the last point I want to teach you tonight. In the end, Samson was determined for some redemption. Samson thinks to himself when he's in prison, bald and blind, and bound, I may have made a mistake, but I am not a mistake. I know I've messed up, but God does not have a plan B for my life. I know God. I know His voice. And as long as I've got breath in my lungs, I still got a shot with God. I serve the God of second chances. I serve the God of new beginnings. Come on, anybody believe that tonight? I said, does anybody believe that tonight? I feel like somebody's hair is going to grow back tonight. Your vision's going to get restored. Get some redemption for your life. Take back what the enemy stole from you. He might have taken your purity, but my Bible says God can still wash you as white as snow. They bring Samson out for another one of their parties. They're going to laugh at him again. They're going to make a mockery of him again. Samson's out there, bald, blind, bound. Just a little bit of hair back. Just a little bit of vision back. A little bit of faith back. Come on, stand to your feet. Read these last verses with me. I love Samson. This is how his life ends. We're going to read the end of the life of Samson right here. Watch why he goes down in the hall of faith. Put it on the screens. Judges chapter 16, if you can. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. Oh, God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all of his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in all of his lifetime. Come on, somebody, thank the Lord. You might have made a mistake, but you're not a mistake. Come on, God wants to use you. God wants to help you. God wants to restore you. Somebody, thank Jesus tonight. Come on, we're determined to get some redemption. I'm telling you tonight, I read the life of Samson, and I think to myself, the first thing that I think to myself when I read this story, my first thought is, oh, Jesus, please, God, please, Lord, don't let me be that dude, that guy that gets one big final victory on his deathbed where I apologized to my kids and made everything right with my enemies. Lord, I don't want one final big victory. I want to live a lifestyle. I got a victory in mile one and mile three and mile five and mile seven and mile nine. Come on, somebody, get some faith tonight. We're going to live for the glory of Jesus. We're going to be faithful even when it feels hard, even when we're in the middle of the race. This is the only God that can take the mess that you and turn it around for a message. He's the God of redemption. He's the God of new beginnings. The second thing I think is I look at this story and I go, oh, well, that's easy. The difference between Samson and us, the only difference, what Samson really needed that we have, is Samson just didn't have Jesus. We have Jesus. Oh, I look throughout the story and I see Jesus all the way through it. Come on. Called for greatness, called to be great, that's Jesus all day long. Come on, Jesus looks at you and I and he says, listen, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Greater things that you will do. You'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Come on, somebody, thank Jesus. Come on, this is literally the plan of Jesus, that you are called and destined for greatness. That's Jesus all day long. Distracted by weakness. Oh, my Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that I have a great high priest. He sympathizes with my weakness. In fact, the Bible says when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You might be weak tonight. Don't you worry. Welcome to the club. All of us are weak in here. But by the grace of Jesus Christ, we can stand strong and we can do our best to serve the Lord our God. Come on, somebody, praise God. We weak people are getting strong tonight. Delusional with pain. You might be here with pain tonight. Pain of a breakup, pain of divorce, pain of decisions that you've made, or pain of things that people have done to you. Jesus walks into a church on a Sunday. He grabs the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the broken hearts. Good news. You don't have to live in that pain. You don't have to live with that anger and that disappointment and that remorse. No, Jesus Christ, by his stripes, we are healed. Somebody thank Jesus tonight. Come on. We're literally getting the rest and the recovery that we need. Debilitated with regret. I'm just aware that tonight there's a lot of people with a lot of regret. But I love that scripture. Though your sins may be as crimson, I can wash you as white as snow. You might have made a mistake, but you're not a mistake. You might have had some regret, but tonight God is lifting your head and say, listen, don't you put your eye on your sin, because as far as the east is from the west, so far as I have removed your transgressions from you. I, the Lord your God, I do not remember your sins no more. Somebody thank God tonight. We're not going to live debilitated in a world of regret. Come on, come on. The past is the past. I'm forgetting those things. I'm pressing forward to take hold. And I love that last one, determined for redemption. I just feel that tonight. Some people are determined for redemption. Maybe you lost 5 years. Maybe you lost a decade. Maybe you lost the last couple months. Maybe you've been in the midst of the wandering. But I want to tell you tonight, there's a spirit of the living God that's coming on the inside, and you're determined to get some redemption. You're determined to get back what's been stolen away from you. I want to tell you how Jesus can help you do it. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, somebody, lift your hands to heaven. Come on, somebody, praise God tonight. Come on, let's worship God.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.